first of all, I just want to say that this was said already. It's bad when you come in after a lot of people speak. You don't know what was said or not. I think it's very chashuv that just everyone coming together, because definitely the common denominator of everyone here is that they're involved, their families are involved in learning Torah, teaching Torah, and that's rare that you get a group of people together, that's what's bringing them together. The fact of growth and caring about Klal Yisrael and Kiddush Hashem is an amazing thing. So, you know, I doubt that any of you knew each other either yesterday or a couple years ago. The fact that that's what brings everyone together is very, very special, and I think it's important to just think about that for a moment. We'll get back to that. And I just want to share an idea and tell a story that I didn't even tell you. It happened to me last night. It was pretty transformative, and it's still like kicking in on me. I was too fresh last night, so I couldn't tell you. But
I thought you were saving it for tonight.
I don't know. But you're the first ones to hear it. We'll start with the ideas as follows. There are different ramazim, different hints that are given to the month of Elul. For example, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings a few. One of them is Mal Hashem Lokechas Levavcha Vetzlevav Zarecha, that you should circumcise your heart, meaning you should change your heart and allow your heart to open up and to grow, to do tshuva. The most famous one is Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li. There's the hint also over there of the Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed spelling the month of Elul. And another one, which is quite interesting, it was Mishloach Manus Ishlu Re'eu Matanus Lavionim. The words Ishlu Re'eu Matanus Lavionim, that you give the presents on Purim, also spell Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, spell out Elul. You would thought that, you know, Elul is a serious time, so it's not a time for Purim. It's not a time for exciting and fun. So what's the idea? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that each one represents three aspects of our Avodas Hashem. Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li, we are to our beloved is to us, that's tefillah, davening, we daven out to Hashem. U'mal Hashem Elokecha, that's levavcha, that's levav zarecha, et levavcha v'et levav, that spells Elul, that's tshuva, we're circumcising our heart, making ourselves better, we're trying to pierce inwards to become better. And matanos levionim, giving presents to the poor, like we do on Purim, that represents staka. Tshuva, tefillah, and staka, those are the three things that get rid of any decree, any bad decree, chas v'shalom that's on us. So those are the three aspects, those are the three components. But really, there's something much deeper to this idea of mishloach manos, related to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, and that is the Saba from Kelm, the Alta from Kelm. He used to say, and this is surprising when I saw it, was that what is the person supposed to be focused on during Elul? He says he's supposed to be focused on v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, loving each other, loving every Jew. And he explains, because Rosh Hashanah is all about saying Hashem is the king, and we want Hashem to reign over all of us. So if I go ahead and I hate someone that I despise, someone I don't have a relationship with, so I don't really want Hashem to reign over him. Like, all of us except for that guy. You know, like it's a condition of really appreciating Hashem as a king over everyone means that we have to be able to connect to everyone. It can't be any person that exists amongst us that I don't love, I don't care about, I don't want to reach out to. And if there is hatred or difficulties that we have, so that is an impediment in my ability to reign Hashem as the king. And therefore he says that's what you're supposed to do over Elul. Just work on the Haftal Reicha Kamocha. Love each other. And that explains what relation to Mishloach Manos is, because Mefarshim explain, the Netzivos and the author of the Chadodi, Yishon Alkovitz, they explain that at the times of Haman and Ahasuerus, so the decree against the Jewish people was that Haman says, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurad Bina Amin, that the Jewish people had no Achas, there was no unity. And therefore, if there's no unity, So the evil people, the enemies could come in and destroy us. And it was because we had a decree on us, and like we've seen this many times when there was a tzara, difficult times in Klai, so you know, everyone goes to the kotel, and everyone's davening, and this guy is wearing a kippah, this guy's not wearing a kippah, this wearing that type of kippah, like, no one cares anymore. Like, there's a problem, we got to come together. Forget all of our whatever we have, you know, that separate us, we all come together. And that's what happened in the times of Purim. We were able to create unity, we were able to create achdus. And that's what we're doing. We give mishloach manos, we're showing, yeah, I love you. You love me, let's give. I give you, you give me. We go work that all together. And since that is so part of, important part of the Elul, so that's why the hint for Elul is in that pasuk, because it's all about v'haftor echakumacha, loving each other. But it's something much deeper, even deeper than that. And that, this was even a bigger chiddush for me. And I'd like to share it with everyone here, and I think it could, definitely is helping me. I've been thinking about this a lot, and I hope it will help everyone else as well. And that is, in this week's parsha, we have the mitzvah of Bikurim, that you give the first fruits. You come to the Kohen, and you bring the fruits. Now, people think that, you know, that was for the farmers. You have a nice farm up north in the Golan, and you know, you bring some of your fruits, but it's not true. If you have two trees and on your merpeset, you know, you have two trees in your garden that had some fruits on there, so you were obligated to bring it. Really, you could be a businessman. You could be someone that has nothing to do with fruits. But there's a mitzvah for you to go ahead and stop everything you're doing, take some fruits, and come to the come to Yishalayim, come to the Beis HaMikdash, and give the fruits. And when you do that, you're saying thank you to Hashem. You're recognizing that everything that you have in life is from Hashem. And there's a mitzvah to read a parsha in front of the Kohen and express your gratitude. And the lacha is that, let's say I'm very busy in my business up in Sfat, not a store. I can't bring my little basket of fruits all the way down to Yerushalayim, waste the whole day of work. It's not worth it. So I send it with a shliach. I send it with a messenger. So you're allowed to do that. But if the messenger gets there, he's not allowed to go and express the gratitude for you. You're not allowed. What's that about? So there's a story, the famous story of Rav Yashiv in 2011. I think he was over 100 already. He had a heart surgery. And it was a very complicated surgery. He was over 100 years old. So that's not so simple. So an expert doctor, his name was Dr. Clare. His name is Dr. Clare. He works at the Cleveland Clinic. He flew to Israel to operate on Rav Yashiv. And it was amazing because he probably makes several tens of thousands of dollars a day, and he gave up a whole week of his work to come operate on this Torah giant. He already knew him. It was 7 years before that he operated on him also. So he knew that this person was like the leader of the generation, and he was not Jewish.
Nothing.
And he said, it's a merit to go ahead and operate. Okay.
Oh my God.
So the operation was successful. And after Rav Yashiv awoke from the anesthesia, Dr. Clare checked him out and said, okay, he's okay, he's ready to go back to Cleveland. So Rav Yashiv asked, there was an interpreter between them. The doctor would ask some questions in English, the interpreter would explain it to him in Yiddish, and Rav Yashiv would answer, and they'd go back and forth. So before he left, Rav Yashiv asked him, can you tell me how to say thank you very much in English? How do you say Tadar Bala Kol? How do you say that? So he said it, he told him, it took him a minute to learn English, never even know English. So he practiced and then he told the doctor, thank you very much. Okay. He sent him away, he left. And then the interpreter came back to Rav Yashiv and he said, I don't get it. Why don't you just tell me to tell him? Like, we've been talking back and forth the entire time, and I've been interpreting. So why don't you just tell me to tell him, thank you very much? And I was said, thank you very much. So he said, that was very simple. He said in Shemona Esrei, right, we say Shemona Esrei, and then in Chazaras Hashas, in the Chazan's repetition, when we get up to Modim, we all have to bow down and say Modim as well. You know, the rest of the Shemona Esrei, we're just quiet. We just listen to the Chazan. At that point, we have to go down and say it ourselves. So what's the reason? So the Vudraham writes that the reason is because when it comes to saying thank you, no one can say thank you for you. You have to say thank you by yourself. No such thing as sending a messenger to say thank you. It's all, a real thank you has to come from yourself. So Rav Yashiv said, I can't tell you, Todah Rabah Lakol, and then you go ahead and say thank you very much to him. I got to do it myself. So I needed you, after a heart surgery over 100 years old, to teach me how to say thank you very much so I could go ahead and do it myself. That's the same thing when it comes to the Bikurim, and you bring these fruits. If you send your fruits with some guy that's going down anyway from Tzfat, you're not allowed to, he can't be going to express it for you. You lose out on that mitzvah of outwardly expressing the gratitude. The gratitude is a very, very important midah, a very important character trait that we have to, has become part of us, which are really, it's not just an obligation that, look, I gotta say thank you, I'll tell him to say thank you for me, check, I did it. That's not what it is. It has to come from deep within. And when it has to come from deep within, it has to be personal, it has to be me doing it myself. Okay. So, the founder of the Musar movement was named the Rissol Salanter. And all his Musar shmuzim that he used to give to inspire people to do tshuva was always about fearing God. How can you do that? Aren't you scared of God? You know, how can you sin? How can you not be this? I cannot do that. I cannot do the mitzvahs properly. Aren't you scared? Are you scared of the punishment? Are you scared of the awesomeness of God? It was all about Yiras Hashem. His student, not 10 generations later, his student, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, always spoke about something totally different. He spoke about loving Hashem. Loving Hashem and appreciating that Hashem gives you the opportunity to do tshuva. So one of his students came over to him and said, I'm getting it. Every student wants to be like their rabbi. So what's this deal? That you rap all the time. It was about yira. And that was the way to inspire people to do tshuva. You made your shift. And you keep on talking about loving Hashem and having gratitude towards Hashem. What's the deal? So he said, my Rebbe, Rissol Salanter, he was on a level that Yiras Hashem, fearing God, was a complete thing by him. It was shleimus, he was complete in that area. So for him, that was the way to get people to do tshuva and for him to do tshuva. He said, we're not on that level. And therefore, the way to do tshuva in the greatest possible way is to appreciate, to have gratitude for everything that Hashem does for us. And then when you have gratitude, that turns into loving Hashem. When we recognize that, wow, Hashem gives us the ability to sit here and to learn and to live a healthy life and all the amazing things that we could list. So I'll talk more about that soon. So then all of a sudden, wow, Hashem, I love you. Right? In every relationship, the more that we appreciate what another person does for us, the more we love them. So he said, and that's what he pushed. And he said, that is what Elul was all about. The month of Elul is about appreciating everything that we have. And the more that we appreciate everything that we have, the more we'll be able to love Hashem, and the more we'll be able to do tshuva because of, oh, I love you. How can I go ahead and do something not appropriate? Or how can I do something that you've asked me to do? I love you so much. Look, you gave me this. Oh, you asked me to do one thing, I didn't do it. Oh, yeah. Because it's out of love. It's coming out of love. And he said that's the best way. And the Gemara even says that someone who does tshuva out of ava, so it's not just he gets rid of his sins, but all of his sins turn into zechuyos, turn into merits. All those sins turn into positive things. It's an amazing thing. You've done something wrong, and now you could not just get rid of the X, you could count it as a check. It's an amazing thing. So he says that the whole point of Elul is to recognize everything that we have and make it very, very real by us. And that explains another hint that's brought down. We say this at the end of davening, to pasuk in Tehillim. So lulei hamanti lirot b'tuv Hashem be'eretz ha'chayim. The David HaMelech says, lulei, if it wasn't for the fact that I had a moon in Hashem to see the tov of Hashem, everyone was trying to get David. People were always trying to get him in trouble. They're trying to get him in trouble with Shaul. Shaul was trying to get him. Really, if you read through the Navi, David should not have made it. it was enemy after enemy after enemy. So he says, how did I do it? Lule are the letters Elul, backwards. And that's what the Rishonim, the Balaturim in Parashat Netzavim points this out. That it's Elul. Because Lule Manti Lors B'Tov Hashem, if I wouldn't have recognized the Tov of Hashem, the good of Hashem, I never would have made it. Things looked horrible. Everyone's trying to get it in big ways. But I always appreciated all the other things that Hashem was giving me. And when you do that, things can be hard, but you're able to get through it, because the balance of what's good versus any trouble that anyone ever has, it doesn't compare. You know, I always like to tell a story. My grandmother, that was actually her chair, but my grandmother, Olive Shalom, she survived Auschwitz, and many of her family perished, and she had my cousin, one of her grandchildren, passed away from cancer with two little kids. Life was not easy in any shape or form for her, but she always smiled, and she was always upbeat. And we said, and my cousin, when her husband passed away, she said, "Bobby, how do you everything you've been through? How do you keep on going on? You know, she lost her husband now, and she wanted to know how to be strong." So she said, my cousin is Talia. She said, "I just keep on counting my blessings. I keep on counting my brachos." And then in Auschwitz, and a young person with two little kids passing away, was she not Seattle? I'm sure she was, but you never knew it, because all of the blessings totally trumped everything that was difficult in her life. So Lule Amanti Leros Ketuv Hashem, when we always look at the Tov of Hashem, we always see everything that's good, so then it's that gets us through everything. That's really the key. And the Nesivus HaMishpat says, when it comes to Mishloach Manos, a little bit of a deeper thing, he says that it's not just that we were trying to show that we had achdus, we had unity, but we're showing, when we give a present to another person, we're showing that, thank you so much for being in with me. Thank you so much for doing tshuva with me. I want to give you a present, because if we wouldn't have done it all together, it never would have happened. So the Mishloach Manos is even an expression of Hakaras HaTov, of gratitude to each other. And therefore that's why there's that hint to El during that time. You know, it's not easy. Let me say this out, I'm very open over here. You know, for your husbands, it's quite easy. You know, they learned in yeshiva before they got married, and they continue exact same yeshiva after they got married. Like, no change, you know. Okay, they're not in the dormitory, which they're very happy about, trust me.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard about it. But it wasn't that much of a change in life, you know. It's not like anything that all of you are go through, where it's totally different, totally different environment, totally different friends, totally different everything. It's the Mesiras Nefesh of everyone in this room is enormous, and it's not easy. Again, it's much easier for your husband. I always try to remind them that, and that to express their gratitude. But how do you get through it when things are difficult? When you have everyday life, and you're working, and you have school, or you have the family, and it's just busy, 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 busy. And it's hard. It's hard work for obviously an amazing, amazing cause, an amazing lifestyle. But how do you do it? So you start to think about the fact that we can live in Yerushalayim. That's unheard of. My grandmother, she made a shavua, she made an oath in Auschwitz that if Hashem takes her out, she'll move to Israel. And after the war, they moved to New York, and because of some financial things, the second my grandfather passed away, mamash, like that month, she came to Israel not speaking a word of Hebrew, and just walked around the streets of Rehavia and found an apartment and bought it. Like without speaking anything, any Hebrew. Her whole life in Israel was way above, beyond. She used to go to Misrata Pnim, and you know, I used to tell her, you know, you have to wait online over there, and it's noisy, and it's not just for you. You're 90 years old. She said, "What line?" I walk into the front, and knock on the door, and I say, "I'm here." I'm like, "Okay, Bobby, maybe you take me there to Misrata Pnim." They know Hebrew, nothing like that. She just, you know, just kept on going, because she. For her to think that anyone would ever live in Yerushalayim is it's a dream that no one ever would have dreamt of. And the fact that we're living here is an incredible thing. The fact that our families are involved in learning Torah and teaching Torah and growth, and like, what is that? Like, and we forget about it. We forget about it. I forget about it. And I'll tell you a story from last night, which just totally shook me up. You know, sometimes I... When people want to go for a tour of Eish HaTorah, I take them to the roof, and they go, "Wow, that!" And I don't even remember that I'm opposite the cultural anymore. Like, you lose it, and that's good for me. And these people are up there, and they tell me how amazing. I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. You know, it's very, very good for me." Anyway, last night I was in a taxi. I had to go, it was an hour drive. And the taxi driver was completely Israeli, didn't speak any English, and was completely secular. And he tells me that, and he starts talking to me, and he tells me, I told him that I lived in the yeshiva opposite the Kotel. So he told me that he was one of the people who liberated the Kotel.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, this is going to be very interesting. And he said, are you one of those people in the picture? You know, the people with the three people? He said, no, but I'm standing right behind Rabbi Goren, who's blowing the shofar, and that's me right behind him.
Okay.
So I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And he tells me that while he was coming through, the Jordanian snipers were on roofs, and he has two bullets on the side of his thing. Okay, fine. Then he tells me, and this got me very nervous, he tells me, so where are you from? I said, I'm from New York. He said, oh, my son is in New York. I said, oh, really, where is he? He's in Muncie. I'm like, Muncie? I'm like, he said, Muncie. I'm like, okay, Muncie. I said, oh, wow. I said, what's he do there? He learns in Or Sameach. I'm like, what? He's like, yes, Hu Charedi. He became religious. 3 years ago, he became religious, and the rabbi sent him to Muncie. I'm like, whoa, I'm like, uh-oh. This is not going well. It's not going to go that, you know, you have to fear the father, and son became religious. He's like, and my other son also is Haredi. I'm like, where does he live? He lives on Rehov Mem Gimel in Romema. I'm like, whoa, that's hardcore. I'm like, okay. And he says to me, and they're the most amazing people. He says, they've derech eretz, like I've never met anyone in my life. And he starts telling me how amazing his two kids are. So I'm like, I thought I was going to start getting on defense, you know? And so I said to him, I said, well, of course your kids are like that. I said, every tefillah that comes from the Kotel, or the millions of people that daven at the Kotel, is all because of you. So all these tefillahs that are going to Hashem because of you, of course your kids are going to turn out that way. So then we started connecting. Now I'm in the back seat, he's in the front seat. And I don't know what possessed me to ask this, and it might have been a mistake. I said, what did you feel when you got to the Kotel? Okay. So at this point, like, the car starts, like, waving away from, like, I started seeing, like, it started getting emotional. I put my seatbelt on. and he started telling me, play by play, what happened. And it was mamish incredible. And he told me that when he grew up in school in Israel, totally secular schools, so they had a book of Bereshit. And he said there were pictures in the book. One picture of Kever Rachel, one picture of Arat HaMachpelah, one picture of the Kotel. And every time the teacher would say, you know, you have to draw a picture, he said he's a horrible drawer. So every time he used to just draw a picture of the Kotel. It was very easy. You have a box and another box. And his whole life, he said, from kindergarten straight through, he always drew the Kotel. Okay. Told me, he said that what happened was they went through Shar HaArayot, Lion's Gate, he walked through the Temple Mount, and that's the side they came from, and then he was standing on the Kotel, and they jumped over, and he said, the way it looked, it's hard, I mean, some of those might have seen pictures, but he had the Kotel as a wall, there was a little area, and then another wall. That whole area in between was full, it was the garbage dump of the old city. That's where they used to throw all their garbage, really, all their garbage, it stunk, it was a and then, like, donkeys would walk on top of the garbage. So it wasn't a high jump from the top of the Kotel to jump onto the garbage. So that's what they jumped on. And they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where they were. Because it wasn't, he explained, it wasn't part of the plan in the original, in the beginning of the war. They weren't supposed to do this. In the middle, they switched gears and said, okay, go capture Yerushalayim. It wasn't part of the original plan. So he jumped down, and he was standing there. All of a sudden, he turned around, and he saw this wall, saw the Kotel. He's like, is this the Kotel? And like all these like flashbacks of all these drawings that he had his whole life. And he said he froze and he went into a real shock, like medical shock. He like totally, and it was dangerous because there were Jordanian snipers all over the place. So that's when he got the bullets. And he said, and then another guy pulled him and started shaking him to wake him up to see what it was. And he said that everything started like getting very emotional. That's when the car started like moving over here. So and he said this, was the most amazing thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. I was totally shocked. I had to be taken out of it at the middle hospital. It was a whole thing. And like when you guys tell me this, I'm like, it's not just you have like a good view from Mishnah Torah. You know, it's not just that you get to work there. It's not just that we get to learn there. It's not just that we get to learn living Yerushalayim. It's like the whole thing is majestic. It's beyond anything that we can think of. But we don't. This is not our. That's not now every day. With so many good things going on that we just don't think about it all the time. And it's really important for us to always remind ourselves on a day-to-day basis, like what we have a karas hatov for, what is it that we have gratitude for, and our listeners get bigger and bigger and bigger the more we're sensitive to it, and the more we understand it, appreciate our husbands, appreciate our families, appreciate our lifestyle. It's not easy, and it's not easy at all. It's very, very difficult, actually. But the more we count our brachos in every aspect, so the more that we're able to get through everything and we're able to succeed. And that's what Rabbi Yisrael Blazer was saying, the student of Yisrael Salanter, that is our avoda during Elul. What are we thinking about? We're thinking about everything that we have that's good. That is what we're supposed to be doing. And the more we do that, then we channel that towards serving Hashem in a greater way. Wow, Hashem, you gave me so much good. I want to do more for you. I want to be a better person. I want to act in levels that are difficult for me. And you know, we shouldn't need the taxi driver to have to wake us up, the basic things, but we do, because the Yetzirah comes in and always says, like, it's hard, and get into a rut, and just more work, and more work, and more work, and you can't, like, bang it out for a second. Like, what? Just, if we count our brachas all the time, that would be our shining light. That is the way that we're going to be able to see forward. That's the way we're going to be successful. That's the way we're going to grow and do more and more and more. And as a Hashem, if we could get this mita down and down good, so we'll all be zoche to an incredible Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and an amazing year with all of our tefillos should be answered. We should have a lot of bracha and tzlacha, and we should have this get together much more often.
Amen.
Okay,
check. Thank you, Rabbi.